Ron Settermo here. Welcome to Tri Chatter. I've got Kevin Rausch here from Rausch Physical Therapy. I'm not sure what your actual name of your business is here.
That's kind of the main part. It's Rausch Physical Therapy and then Sports Performance.
Sports Performance. Okay, perfect, perfect. So we're going to talk to Kevin a little bit about his business here and what he does. And then he's going to give us some pointers on how to avoid injury and what the most common injuries are, how to avoid them, maybe some strength exercises, that type of thing. And we'll just go through it sport by sport. But first, tell us about your practice. When did you open? What's your education? And then what's your, specifically, your triathlon experience?
All right. Well, my name's Kevin Rausch. I'm a physical therapist and own Rausch Physical Therapy and Sports Performance. The clinic has been around for 5 years and a little bit. Started out with one patient, and now we've grown just exponentially over the last couple of years. I'm a local guy from Costa Mesa area. Started out as a patient first, laying on a table and looking up. And just really enjoyed my treatment in another PT clinic here locally, and just absolutely knew that this is what I wanted to do with the rest of my life. At that time, I was a collegiate volleyball player, but have kind of grown into the triathlon world of things, and am now a sprint distance and an Olympic distance triathlete, and treat patients all day and train a little bit, and that's about it. We kind of specialize in the endurance side of things here in the clinic, and just really enjoy treating people, helping them on their way, and getting back to doing the things that they enjoy doing.
So what races have you done in the past? And what do you got on the calendar this year? Anything?
Races in the past? Let's see. Orange County Tri, Pacific Coast Tri, Super Seal, Super Frog, the San Diego series down there, the Turkey Tri in Benelli Park. Quite a few local ones. Anything sprint and Olympic distance, those are my cups of tea, I guess.
All right.
Not necessarily cups of tea, but things I enjoy. races for this year, a little bit more on the slimmer side of things. I have a 4-week-old daughter at home.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you very much. And she is taking number one priority right now. So the training and the racing has been a little bit put on the back burner for the next couple months. But yeah. I hope to race a couple times this year. So any race directors out there that have any open spots for me later in the next couple months, save one for me just in case I get some training in.
Cool. Even Mark Allen took a year off of from Ironman when he had a kid. So we're going to cut you a little slack this year. But next year we expect to see you out there a lot.
I am no Mark Allen, but thanks for the comparison.
Yeah, I don't think I've been compared to Mark Allen either. Okay, so I think the, you know, anybody that's been in virtually any kind of sports for any period of time has experienced some sort of injury, you know, and I've been competing in sports, you know, virtually my entire life, and have experienced a ton of different injuries. Thankfully, none that you know, really took me out of the game for too long. But if we can kind of go through sport by sport and identify maybe the most common injury and what we can do to avoid it, strengthen whatever muscles we need, you know, whatever exercises you can recommend. Mm-hmm. You know, it's kind of go through that. And we'll start with swimming. What sorts of injuries do you see there?
Okay, typically with swimmers, we get obviously a lot of shoulder injuries coming in. I guess the number one we could talk about would be rotator cuff tendonitis or shoulder impingement. They kind of go hand in hand together. Typically comes from one of two things, either weakness in your rotator cuff or bad swimming stroke, honestly. Mm-hmm. And again, those two things kind of play hand in hand. And I think they're both valuable items to kind of check out if somebody's got a shoulder injury. I would love to coordinate with that person's swimming coach, whoever it might be, and have them analyze their stroke and have me kind of check out their shoulder from a tissue standpoint, figure out what tissues are injured. Like I said, normally it's rotator cuff, maybe biceps tendon. Get the inflammation calmed down out of it first. begin a kind of a proper strengthening program using their rotator cuff musculature and their shoulder blade musculature as kind of their primary stuff. But then we always have to go back and actually work core as well, kind of that big group of muscles in your midsection there that controls how well your shoulder moves when you're in the pool. Because believe it or not, the first time you reach your arm forward in the swimming stroke, the first muscle that contracts is actually your transversus abdominis, your big core muscle group. So we need to train that to work in conjunction with your shoulder so that you can turn in the water and your shoulder can enter the water at a correct plane. You can have a good mechanical pull and a strong enough rotator cuff and shoulder blade muscle group to kind of get you through the water without letting your tissues kind of compact and squish inside of your shoulder joint.
Well, I'm glad that you mentioned that, because that I started out as a swimmer as a kid. I started swimming competitively when I was 7. And we were taught to swim flat in the water with no body rotation whatsoever.
Right.
And as a result, you're putting more strain on your shoulders. And
horribly more strain, yes.
Yeah. So this shoulder has been scoped already. And okay. I've got limited, maybe we can talk offline about that, but I've got limited mobility in this arm, you know.
Right.
So when I look at my stroke, you know, when we analyze it, analyze the video, it's like, well, dude, what's going on with that left arm? You know, I can't quite get it out there. And the right one's got problems too, but we were just taught to swim flat in the water. So, you know.
Yeah, it's amazing how the swimming stroke itself has changed over the last couple decades
yeah.
or so, and the different theories and the different techniques that are out there. And right now, we're in a pretty good season of how to train a swimming stroke correctly, which I really enjoy. I love the pull and the twist sort of things, and using a core muscle group to help get you moving through the water faster. Because, like you said, the core, if used properly, can take pressure off of your shoulder, which would prevent your issues and your problems there.
Yeah. I mean, over the years, I've had probably half a dozen cortisone injections in there. And that's a miracle drug, I got to tell you. I mean,
right.
I would have so much pain in my shoulder, I couldn't sleep at night. One cortisone injection, and I was great for like 2 or 3 months, you know. But I guess you don't want to keep doing that. You need to eventually fix the problem.
Yeah, and that's the hardest thing, is to what is the problem, whether it is swimming stroke technique issues, or it's a strength or a posture issue inside of your shoulder, and that's where you just need to work with somebody who can kind of figure out and chew through all that stuff and figure out what your true issue is. Agreed, I enjoy using cortisone and that kind of stuff as well for the appropriate style patient. But like you said, you can only do so many of them before you kind of start to weaken the tissue possibly and put yourself at risk for further injury. And I mean, arguably, it might be kind of a mask to what the true problem might be. And yes, you get rid of the pain and the swelling, but the technique flaw might still be there, the weakness in your shoulder or your core might still be there. And again, you're kind of treating the symptoms maybe, but not necessarily treating the problem.
So what's the common cause for that? Is it a core issue, or is it
I guess
muscle strength, shoulder? What's the main reason?
All the above. I guess you could justifiably say a technique flaw. And inside of the technique flaw, you could say core weakness, bad technique, bad rotation, bad shoulder position, your arm crosses over your shoulder to the other side. A gamut of different things that could cause it, but I guess we can kind of lump them into a technique flaw with some subcategories of core weakness, shoulder weakness, rotator cuff instability, that kind of stuff.
So what's the best way to avoid it?
Avoid it? Do stuff besides just swim. Train your core. Get into a Pilates class. Get into a yoga class. Work hard on the things that get you moving through the water. Don't just jump in the pool. Work on a good series of rotator cuff and shoulder blade exercises at the gym even, or at home with an exercise band.
Like what? Give me a couple examples.
Rotator cuff external rotations. We call them lawnmowers with an external rotation here in the clinic. Anything where your arm is kind of moving out to the side and your arm is kind of pulling back towards you. Horizontal rows would be great ones. A plank series inside of the gym. A plank and push-up position. Anything where you're really working hard to stabilize your shoulder and your core at the same time and kind of get those small little muscles inside of your shoulder working and firing correctly. And kind of getting away from the big, giant shoulder muscle groups.
Yeah.
So it's usually the little stuff that makes the biggest difference. How much core time you spend in the gym, how much Pilates time you spend in. Those little, an hour here, an hour there, could translate into marked increases in your swimming performance, even though you only spent an hour doing a Pilates class, we'll say, every other week. That could translate into something simply phenomenal for your swimming and for your rest of your triathlon career too.
Yeah, it's tough to convince us triathletes to do anything other than swim, bike, and run. I mean, it was this so little time. Well, you know, that's good for you because you see a lot of customers that way. You know,
completely
we swim, bike, and run. We don't lift weights. We don't do yoga and Pilates. We don't do a lot of the things that we should. As a result, we get injured and yeah.
Yeah. The sport of triathlon, it's kind of all about taking care of your body, making sure that it's good enough to do the things that you're asking it to do and that you take well enough care of it after you do the things that you ask it to do. And I think a good dose of core work, strength training work, and just letting your body heal and take care of itself in between and after seasons is a great thing for all of us endurance athletes to kind of take hold of and grasp. Don't get me wrong, I fall into the same categories too. I'd much rather train than rest.
Yeah, yeah. So, little advertisement for your business here. What would an athlete come to you, for example, and say, "I'm perfectly healthy now. What can I do to swim, bike, and run? You know, what exercise can I do to swim, bike, and run and avoid injury at the same time? I mean, would you put them through some kind of assessment? Would you look at their swim stroke? Would you put them on a bike? Would you put them on the treadmill and look at them and you know, find their weaknesses and potential problems and then give them an exercise routine?"
Yeah, we have two programs especially designed to meet both of those needs. We call them Run Right and Bike Right. I'd love to do Swim Right as long as you put a pool in my office. But Run Right and Bike Right starts with a musculoskeletal exam of you, how well you move. For running, we'll say we do a series of single leg squats and balance tests to make sure that you have the necessary coordination. And we kind of check functionally the strength of your hip, the strength of your core, and how well we think your knee is going to run once you start running. We kind of gather a bunch of evidence that kind of points us in the right direction. Check a bunch of strength, check some flexibilities, and see where you're at just from a musculoskeletal and health standpoint before we even get you on the treadmill.
Mm-hmm.
Once we get you on the treadmill, essentially let you warm up and start running and get to your normal running cadence, speed, and what you feel good with. If you're not a treadmill person, we'll just do it outside. We use a series of video cameras and Dartfish so that we can analyze your movement quality and your running gait. You and I would sit down afterwards and kind of just go through the video. You and I both make notes and kind of check off what we see one by one with what your mechanics look like, the things that lead to the mechanical flaws like weakness in your hips, bad posture, inflexible hamstrings, tight Achilles, all of these sort of things, and then kind of address these are the issues and then start to remedy those issues with the proper stretches that you should be doing every single day or before you run, the proper preventative exercises that you should be doing for your hips and for your core on a daily basis or help get you into those techniques and programs so that you can start to address these things, like you said, before they even start to happen.
Yeah.
And that's my favorite thing to do is prevent the injury. We're pretty good at treating the injury. We can get people better real fast and get you back, but I look way better when I can prevent the injury before you even get it. And
yeah,
most times if we prevent the injury successfully, we probably also do something to improve your performance as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
So yeah. If you look at the amount of repetitions that one would go through on an hour run, running at maybe 100 steps per minute, you're looking at 6,000 plus repetitions of your knee bending, lifting, picking up, and putting it back down again. And you got to have a good enough amount of strength in your hips, your core, and you got to have a good technique 6,000 times in a row to make sure that that happens successfully without any sort of injuries or any sort of issues. That whole program we kind of do with the bike, get you in here and put you on the trainer. Again, use Dartfish to analyze your position, your cycling mechanics. It's by no means a technical bike fit. It's more of a biomechanical analysis of your posture and the way that you spin the pedals.
So. Yeah, I could use that one. In fact, moving on to the bike specifically, I get knee pain, and I feel it in my left knee. Right knee's fine.
Yep.
Left knee, don't know what's going on there.
The front of it or the side?
Yeah, it's kind of like on the the front inside.
Okay.
So I don't know what's going on there, but it sounds to me like I need a, what'd you call it, bike ride?
Bike ride.
Bike ride. I think I need a bike ride analysis.
So what we would do is, again, kind of figure out which tissue is causing you your pain there. Check it out, feel it out, do a bunch of necessary knee tests to make sure there's not some sort of bigger ligament or joint issue at play, meniscus tears, all these sort of fun things. Probably not, is what most cases are the correct answer. It's probably some sort of movement dysfunction,
yeah.
Either an incorrect seat height, or maybe you've got knees that do figure eights on the bike, and that's where we shoot the video camera right at you in front, analyze you going directly at the video camera, and then you and I slow down the motion and then just track with our fingers where your knees go in space. Ideally, the knee kind of works like a piston and goes straight up and straight down with just a little bit of variation between each person. But if you're grossly in and out throughout the pedal stroke, you simply put undue stress across the front of your knee that your knee's not designed to handle. And then done 10,000 times for a 2-hour bike ride, even if it's just an inch and a half worth of movement back and forth, an inch and a half times 10,000 can be a world of pain for your knee.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the only time that I really feel it. So what is the most common cycling injury that you see? Obviously, people falling off. I fell off my bike a couple of years ago and broke my ribs, but that's a whole different issue.
I'm in the same game with you. I fell off 3 years ago yesterday and broke both elbows. So used to be a patient as well.
Again, are you supposed to do that?
Ideally, no, but you sure do look cool when you fly like Superman off your bike.
At least for a couple of minutes.
Yeah, right. Took me out of work for like 6 weeks, and it was quite an interesting challenge.
Yeah,
but bike issues, mostly knee pain, can be inside of the knee pain simply due to stress, can be outside of the knee pain that mostly resembles IT band syndrome. And again, it's all about fit and mechanics on your bike. And then how much you do things off your bike, whether you warm up before you go for a ride. Do you do the necessary hip and core strengthening exercises besides just bike ride? How much time do you spend on your body using the foam roll, IT bands, quads, hamstrings, these kinds of things, taking care of the tissues that propel you forward on the bike? A whole gamut of things, but it kind of all comes back to mechanics, taking care of yourself and making sure the tissues are ready to roll.
So what specifically kind of exercises should we be doing to strengthen the knee and make us faster?
We call them clams and lateral stepping. Essentially put a rubber band around your knees, lay on your side and make a motion that looks like a clamshell with your knees together. It's kind of like the opposite of what Suzanne Summers used to do on the commercials.
Yeah.
That strengthens your glute medius, and that's the muscle that controls where your knee goes in space, both in running and in cycling. It's a big, really kind of cornerstone of a hip muscle, and it controls how well your knee goes straight up and down. If it's weak, your knee wiggles back and forth. If it's strong, there's a good chance that your knee will kind of hold rock steady and go straight up and down.
Now, do you do that? You just mentioned with bands. Is that, what do they call that? Because they've got a couple of machines at the gym. Hip abductors.
Yeah, hip abductor and hip adductor machines.
Yeah.
Those kind of do it from a sitting perspective, which is nice. I like the ones with the bands because you kind of get a bit more rotation out of your hip when you do a clamshell style.
Mm-hmm.
The straight abduction and adduction ones are fine as well. They'd be a nice supplement to do both, honestly. Yeah, if I were in the gym, I'd do that one, and if I were home, I'd do the one with the bands.
Yeah, and so, what was the other one you mentioned?
Lateral stepping, same kind of thing, band around both knees, and you kind of stand in a squatting position and then just take one step laterally and kind of lead your way out there. Again, a functional standing exercise that you could do at home, at the track before a workout.
Yeah.
In the parking lot at the canyon before you go for a bike ride to get those muscles firing and ready to roll before you jump on your bike and ask them to work.
Yeah, that was actually Dave Scott did a camp for the Orange County Triathlon Club a couple of years ago, and that was one that he had us all do. He made sure that we all had bands with us, and yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't take much. I mean, a band costs like $5, and a band can be a $5 band can be the difference between an injury-free triathlon season, or one riddled with IT band syndrome, hip stuff, knee stuff, Achilles stuff.
Yeah.
All for a $5 band and a couple minutes worth of exercise at home on your own.
Just, I want to talk about running in a second, but these stretches and exercises, what kind of frequency? Is it just before you exercise? Is it something you do every day? What do you recommend?
Kind of break it down in categories. The stretching stuff, I would do it every single day. It's absolutely appropriate to stretch every day and should be done for us endurance athletes, every single day stretch. The exercises where we're really looking to develop some strength and stability in a muscle or a joint, or around a joint, I should say, 3-5 times a week, sometime around there. If you're in the middle of a big season, a training protocol, and you're really, really building up a lot of mileage and you're kind of lacking the outside time besides the run, bike, and swim time, then maybe you can cut that back to 2. But especially if it's preseason, like most people are in right now, you should be hitting those strengthening type exercises 3 to 5 times a day. And don't look at them as a 2-hour session in the gym where I'm doing nothing but weights. You could realistically get a great set of hip and core exercises done, which are probably the two biggest body parts that you need to address. You could get those done into 15 or 20 minutes on the floor watching TV at home, or before you go for a bike ride in the parking lot somewhere.
Yeah.
Really appropriate, really easy, doesn't require a lot of equipment by any means. It can be done very simply.
Yeah, that's good. Because it was last season mostly that I kind of got into an evening routine. You know, I'd come home, get relaxed, eat, turn on the TV, and just, you know, do some stretching and some strength stuff from home. It was, you know, that became my routine. This year I'm in the gym. I'm in the gym twice a week now.
And I like that, especially the home part, because like you said, you can do it every day. I tell my patients or my clients here, do an exercise or a stretch every commercial break. So you've got arguably 2 to 3 minutes right there. You can get right and left side done in those 2 to 3 minutes, and you got, what, 8 commercials in a half an hour show?
There you go.
You just did 8 exercises essentially for free. So that's a good way to go.
That's a great, great idea. So, can I use that?
Absolutely, yes. No charge.
All right, so running, you must see more runners and injuries here than swimming and cycling, I would imagine.
Yeah, I guess if you looked at the percentages, we'd see a bit more runners, arguably. Big gamut of injuries from our runners, from Achilles stuff to shin splints for multiple different reasons, knee stuff. For whatever reason, right now we've got maybe 6 or 7 runners in here with hip issues. They're all a little bit different. They all need to be expertly examined and figured out exactly which tissue is causing the problem and the pain, and then which mechanic or which motion is causing the tissue to have the issue, and then what they lack, whether it's flexibility, strength, a good warm-up or training program. All of these things need to be addressed in order to efficiently treat the athlete. If you just do stretching, you're probably not going to help everybody. If you just do gym exercises, you're definitely not going to help everybody. You have to work on the whole gamut and series that an athlete would go through if you really want to be able to help the majority of the populations that come into your clinic. You literally have to do from A to Z with every single person that comes in.
Yeah, yeah.
And that takes a lot of time, it takes a lot of effort, it takes a lot of communication. And those are instances where, excuse me, where you would have my email address, we'll say, and you and I chat not only when you're my patient in the clinic, but you and I are chatting constantly on email about issues that come up and about ideas that you have, so that we can nail down every single thing in completeness, as opposed to just treating your knee. Treating your knee might encompass treating all of you and not just treating your knee.
Yeah. Yeah, I was telling Kevin before the interview, I've had a chronic Achilles tendon problems And it's been well over 10 years that I've had these problems, and it flares up and it goes down. The only thing that's really fixed it is just staying off it, and of course that's not an option.
Right.
You know, so what are you going to do? And so now I do a couple stretches. I'm in the gym a couple times a week, and in this particular case, another good friend of mine, a friend of yours, Dr. Sam Sunshine.
Yep.
He actually found the magic bullet that actually fixed my problem, and it was just it's a nitroglycerin patch that we put on there to help improve circulation, and you know, it just works. So that was my fix.
Yeah, working with Dr. Sunshine's been an absolute perfect match for myself and my clinic here, because he is arguably the most cutting-edge sports physician in the area, and simple ideas like the nitro patch to get rid of pain and inflammation just works phenomenally for a lot of patients, and that's stuff that's not available with every doc sports med physician, you know? It's stuff where he kind of thinks outside of the box and really kind of tackles the client, the athlete, the patient with his entirety of his practice. So kudos to Sam, for Dr. Sunshine, for that one.
Yeah, well, it's nice, you know, there's, one of the things that I like about Sam is he's an athlete. He's a triathlete as well. He's injured right now. I don't know, are you treating him? He's got fasciitis, but anyway, he needs some help there. But just like yourself, you know, he's an athlete. So us triathletes like to hang with other triathletes. You know, I go to Kathy Flippin to get my massages. You know, she's a triathlete.
Yep.
You know, I go see Sam. He's my physician. He's a triathlete. So we like to hang with people that really kind of understand what our unique motivation is and what it is that we do, you know.
Yeah.
So I think that's, you know, it's a wonderful niche.
Understandably, that person treating you really does need to understand and comprehend, one, how much you love it and how much you're willing to risk in order to do it.
Yeah.
And then two and three, they really need to be able to work with you and kind of understand what it takes to be a triathlete, because it's not just go for a simple run once or twice a week. There's a lot of stuff involved in training for triathlon, especially successfully training for triathlon. And you have to find somebody that kind of has that niche, that not only understands the sport of triathlon from an inside point of view, but is willing to kind of go outside the normal box of treating a patient and figure things out from the very essential point of view of treating you in the most complete manner possible. So there might be instances where I have to say, Ron, you know what? You can't run on that Achilles, because I see nothing but bad news coming for you if that's the case. However, spin your brains out and replace all of your running time with yoga, Pilates, cycling, and swimming. So, sorry you can't run this week, but you can absolutely figure out a bunch of other things that you can do. And to be honest, that's one of the easiest parts about treating triathletes, is because you've got two other sports to work on constantly. And chances are you're probably not as good in one of those as you are in another one, so why not spend some time working at the one that you really need some help on?
Yeah.
That's one of my favorite things to do is, if I have to tell somebody that you shouldn't for this week, there's absolutely 10 other things that you can do. And it's rare that I have to tell somebody that they can't for this week, but once in a while it happens.
Yeah. Yeah. So, well, that's great. So what other words of advice have you got for us triathletes? What else can we do to improve our strength, flexibility, and avoid injury?
Work on stuff off the bike, out of running shoes, and out of the pool.
Yeah.
Work on your flexibility. Take a yoga class. Take a Pilates class. Jump on a reformer once in a while.
What's a reformer?
That's a medieval piece of Pilates equipment that looks like a standard torture device.
Yeah, I think I've seen
those, that would work wonders for you. But do stuff that's not necessarily in swim, bike, and run. Take care of your body. Get a massage regularly. Use a foam roll constantly. Stretch daily. Exercise a couple times a week, knowing in the back of your head that that is absolutely going to improve your performance, keep you off my tables, prevent injuries, and make you enjoy the sport of triathlon even more, because everybody loves triathlon, but people like doing triathlons, not just talking about it. So if you can stay injury-free and just go to town and train and have fun, more power to you. The sport's going to be fantastic. The people that kind of get a little frustrated with it are the ones that are frequently injured. But if you can kind of stay on top of your body and make sure that you're doing the right stuff, as well as swimming, biking, and running, because that's the fun parts of it, then you'll do great and you'll be very successful at what you do. Another thing you might want to mention on there is get your technique analyzed. Find a swim coach that's great with technique. Do a bike right, do a run right, and make sure that you move correctly on the bike and make sure that you move correctly when you run. Because every other sport out there analyzes technique and works on technique of that sport, but for whatever reason, we don't much. I'm single-handedly trying to change that. But if you look at like a professional golfer, 2 or 3 times a week, a professional golfer is spending time with a golf coach to improve his technique. Now, granted, this guy's a professional golfer, so he's already good. But he's constantly working on honing in his technique so he can be more perfect every single time that he hits the golf ball. For whatever reason, that idea of technical improvement has kind of been lost on endurance athletes. You don't really see many people working on technique drills or working on technical aspects of their running or cycling strokes. I think they should.
I totally agree with that. And, you know, a lot of my coaching is aimed towards swimmers, mm-hmm. which is the area that I think they generally need the most help in, you know, and we can see the hugest improvements there.
Yeah.
But absolutely, cycling and running as well, you know. Yeah, good. So, Kevin, how do our listeners get a hold of you?
A couple different ways. If you want to be a patient, jump on my website, RauschPT.net. You can find out some more information there. Call my office and jump on the schedule. Just get in here. We've got plenty of different programs to get everybody in. We take a lot of insurances. We make a lot of things happen. So don't worry about that. We can get you in. If you don't need the treatment side of things, but you want to be a client of ours for a run right, a bike right, to use our AlterG treadmill, to do Pilates here in the clinic, all sorts of these things, most of those are scheduling devices are available on the website directly. So you can, I know you did an AlterG session tonight, you can schedule on the AlterG treadmill from the website. Just click schedule on RauschPT.net. A scheduling utility pops up. You can schedule your AlterG session there, and you can just come directly and use the treadmill and be on your way. So both calling in and checking the website would be fine ways to do it.
Cool. Yeah, the AlterG, by the way, is just an amazing treadmill. It essentially lifts your body with a cushion of air. It's not like straps or anything. It's basically what I imagine.
I dare you to successfully describe it with just words.
Yeah. But it's just, it lifts you up so that you're only really placing anywhere between 100% of your weight up to 20% of your weight on your when you're running or walking. It's an amazing tool.
So we are very blessed to have the AlterG inside the clinic. We've been working with AlterG for quite some time to make it happen. We've had it for just 3.5 weeks at this point. And all of us as therapists have looked at each other inside of here and said, how in the world did we successfully treat running athletes or any lower body injury without the AlterG? It's made such an enormous difference in getting patients back to running and walking pain-free, and doing all sorts of things that we've only essentially dreamed about for decades as therapists. And now we can do it, snap of your fingers, and a grade 2 ankle sprain that you can limp into the clinic on can be running that same afternoon with zero pain.
Yeah, it's a fun toy. I recommend everybody get one. Anyway, so yeah, you can reach me at ron@triathica.com, or just go to our website, triathica.com or triathicaacademy.com. So, Kevin, thank you so much.
My pleasure, Ron.
Continued success.
Oh, thank you very much. It's been a pleasure having you here. Thanks so much.
Thanks.